And at that time, that was considered big money, $10 an hour. And I mean, I was 18, 19 years old. So, I mean, for me, that was a lot of money. Yeah, so I kind of took the long approach, as my topic was relationship and sales. So I took a long approach. I actually, I talked about building a brand before you get to the relationship and sales part of it. Because whether we like it or not, people are attracted to what they see. My father told me, he said, you know, you have a gift. God didn't give it to you not to share it. You don't have to be behind a podium to share a message. You know, bad communication is horrible in the sales and marketing world. You know, again, it goes back to what I said. People have to know what they're purchasing. They have to know the pros and cons of this. Give them all the information to make an informed decision.
Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of South Haven Business Beat, where we sit down with small business owners, entrepreneurs, and just people in our community and learn from them how they got to where they are and ways that you can do business better and be able to just network and grow your business and personal brand. Today, I have the distinct honor of sitting down with George Webb with South Haven Honda. He is over sales and finance there and is just a phenomenal human, along with being one of our ambassadors. George, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we need to get like right in. I want to tell them your story. We want to do this podcast to where it's more than just, this is where I work, this is what I do, but we want to know what you believe. We want to know who you are as an individual and how you came to be where you are. So can you just jump right in there? Dark and stormy night. I was born. Let's go way back.
So I'm originally from Hernando, Mississippi. I'm from a small fraction in the county area called Dark Corner.
Okay.
Before the cool kids came with Lewisburg, and I was there. You know, it was all cornfields and wheat and bus 69 that ran from Hernando in the city to that little side of the town out in Hernando in the county area. That's exactly where I'm from. Growing up there, two-parent households, mom and dad working, blue collar. They also were business owners, cosmetology, carpet cleaning, car washing, pressure washing buildings, cutting grass, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, dad had me and my little brother up, you know, 7 a.m. on Saturday getting to it.
Nice.
So, you know, just instilling that hard work and that hustle in us at a very young age. They did a great job at that. And so, you know, we're still working and we're still working hard. So that's kind of me, you know, in a small nutshell. You know, growing up, I didn't want to be in sales. I just wanted to be a preacher, actually. So that's actually what I wanted to do. And so I actually did do that. I am an ordained minister as well. And I did have a church in Connecticut as well before I came back home. So I've done a little bit of everything.
Okay. So how did you wind up in Connecticut of all places? That's a little bit of a jump from Hernando.
So I was in the Midwest. I was in Dayton, Ohio. I was at the Bold Believers Church out there in Dayton, Ohio area. And my mentor is from Memphis, Tennessee. He has been pastoring out there for 23 years now. And he called me and he asked if I would come and help him as he was getting ready to make a move in the city to a newer facility, which means more responsibility, more everything, more work. And I said, sure. And at the time, I was working at Landers Nissan. And I said, you know what? I'll do it. And so I went and studied underneath his feet for some time, learned and worked out there. And then I came back home for about 6 months. After about 3 years, I said, all right, I think I'm going to go back home now. And I went back home for about 6 months. I kind of stayed home. And then I got a call from a congregation in Hartford, Connecticut. And they said, hey, we saw some videos and we're wondering if you would be willing to interview. And I said, sure. And so then they called and they said, well, we're going to go a different direction. They canceled it. And I said, that's fine. And so then they called back again and I said, okay. So I ended up going out there and I did an interview. And so that's kind of how that process started of me getting to Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I love your journey on that. That's the Lord is top priority in your life. That's amazing. So props to your parents for raising you right, not only with the good work ethic, but also leading you to Christ. That's fantastic. At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today. So what made you kind of gravitate into the automotive industry then? Because that's definitely separate worlds completely.
Yeah, but much like most young people, you're in high school, you're trying to figure it out.
Oh, yes.
You know, I don't care how many recruiters come, how many cool people come with nice clothes. You're still trying to figure it all out, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody has to go through something before you find that one specific thing that you really want to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm 37 now, and there's still days I wake up like, is this it? You know what I'm saying? And so I think for me, it was really, it took a lot of work to finally figure that out. On what I really wanted to, do. And I remember right after high school, and my uncle, Steve, he works at Plasco Light. It's a warehouse, extrusion warehouse over on Hatch Cross. Mm-hmm. He still works there. He's been there like 40 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I said, Uncle, I need a job. He said, okay. He said, well, they're not hiring directly in. You're going to have to go over to Select Staffing and Olive Branch and go through the temp service, and then you can do temp to hire. So that's what I did. And they gave me the job over there making $10 an hour. And at that time, that was considered big money, $10 an hour. And I mean, I was 18, 19 years old. So, I mean, for me, that was a lot of money, especially when you're used to staying at home and, you know, you're not paying any bills, right? And so I went in there. I did that for about a week or two, and the hours were crazy. I mean, we're talking 12 p.m. to 12 a.m., the sleepiest hours of the day. It was 4 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 4 days off. I said, Uncle, you've been doing this 40 years? He said, yeah. He said, well, he said, I ain't been doing what you've been doing 40 years, but that's why I started. He said, everybody got to start somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking at him like, I get it. But man, what a start. So I came home one day. It was just a crazy day. I mean, had cuts in my forearms. Like the plastic was so hot, it was burning through my shirt. And I came home. I laid across the bed. I said, God, it got to be something else out here. Ain't no way you put me on this earth to do this right here every day. And at the time, Craigslist was very huge on job prospecting. So I got on Craigslist and I found an ad on Craigslist in the job section that said Landers Nissan is hiring. And I looked at it and I said, well, I probably could sell cars because I did door-to-door sales for a while in the summer. And so I called my uncle, who is one of the partners over at Mount Moriah Auto Sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him. I said, you think I could sell cars? He said, I think you could. Why not? Go for it. And so I went and interviewed at Landers Nissan, and you know, Mr. Grisani told me, he said, hey, well, if you can do door-to-door sales and you can work them out as you working with the warehouse, you probably could sell cars. And so that's kind of how I started.
That's incredible. Yeah, I kind of have a similar story. I mean, I didn't hustle like you did in a warehouse or anything hauling hot plastic or nothing, but I've done everything from teaching preschool to working in a garage, doing direct sales, to driving charter buses and concierge services. So I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up until I was 40 when I found the chamber world.
Yeah.
So I'm all about exploring and figuring things out because you never know until you really get older and tap into those talents and what you really have. And I tell everybody all the time that selling things, the product can come and go. The product can change 100 times. When you're selling yourself. The product will sell itself, but you've got to have those communication skills and that connection to be able to build that relationship, because it doesn't matter what the product is. If they don't like you, they're not going to buy from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeb Blunt has a book I have on my Kindle, you know, People Buy You. Yes. And, you know, when I spoke last weekend, I believe it was, or the weekend before, at the South Haven Young Professionals event, that was one of the books I had on my slide, was People Buy You by Jeb Blunt. It's an outstanding book. Yes. And, you know, you're right. You know, the products do change, but, you know, people are going to buy that person. Yep. You know, they're wondering, you know, can you help them navigate this overwhelming process?
Leaning into the leadership event, I have heard great things about your stuff that you did talk about, and the students and how they were just coming up to everybody afterwards and asking questions. Like, y'all really, you, Aaron, and several of the others really just drew them in. Will you tell us a little bit about of what you spoke about at the leadership event?
Yeah, so I kind of took the long approach, as my topic was relationship and sales. Mm-hmm. So I took a long approach. I actually... I talked about building the brand before you get to the relationship and sales part of it, because whether we like it or not, people are attracted to what they see. Yeah. That's just the truth. I mean, even for me, if I don't care how good somebody say the food is, I'm going to read the reviews. I mean, I read every page and count the pros and cons. Mm-hmm. and figure out if I'm going to shop here, I'm going to go to the doctor here, or, you know, I'm going to eat here. I mean, that's just who I am. And so I talked to them about building that brand and letting them know that first impressions do matter.
Absolutely.
You know, let's get out of our heads that, you know, only God can judge me. I understand the sentiments of it, but it's just not our reality these days. People are judging you the moment they look at you.
Yep.
They're looking at you from head to toe. You know, they're looking to see if you're groomed. They're looking to see if you got a belt on. They're just looking to see if you're pressed and straight. People just want to know if they're going to spend their hard-earned dollar with you. They're looking at the person they're getting ready to spend it with. Absolutely. And if they think you're not up to standard, they're not going to do business with you. That's our reality. And so I just had to let them know that as young people, because sometimes we get in the habit when you're young, you just, you know, you wake up in the morning, you run out the house, you put on the first thing that you see, you know, I said, listen, brushing your teeth, washing your face, combing your hair, putting an iron to your clothes, it all matters.
You know, matter what age it is.
Yeah, it all matters. It still matters.
It's no matter what job you have, even the guys that are, you know, you're young, you're 16, mm-hmm. you're flipping burgers. Okay. Those managers are looking at you. The people yep. that are on the other side of that counter, they're looking at you, and you never know who you're going to meet. I know one of the things that April Armstrong with Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. which props to Chick-fil-A, they have built that brand and that standard.
Excellent.
Like, they lead that standard. Yep. And her favorite word is preportunity. She said it at the last thing she spoke at. She says, you need to be prepared for every opportunity because you never know who you're going to meet that's going to lead to your next step.
That's true.
And your story also kind of leans that direction, because every step of the way, it's just kind of flowed into the next thing and into the next thing. And even your time in the ministry has built your communication abilities. I mean, you've always had that. I know you've always had that chatty spunk about you, but getting in front of a congregation and having the pressures of making sure that you're delivering the word the way God intended it, that gives you the confidence and the courage to be able to step out and do the sales and all the things.
Yeah, and that hasn't always been easy. One of the students asked me after the presentation, she said, you're a great speaker. How did you develop that confidence and courage to stand up and just do this without sweating? And I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you what a gentleman told me that doesn't speak that well. He said that if you're not a little nervous, you're too cocky.
Absolutely.
So I said, no, I was nervous. I said, but I've just done it through repetition and reps over time. And I said, you talk your way through it over time, and you feel, you read the room.
Yeah.
and you feel the energy that's coming back to you. But I said, it hasn't always been easy. It took a lot of repetition standing in front of people. I said, believe it or not, I was preaching a sermon once and was too glued to the notes and left a page at home.
Ooh.
And guess what? Over time, you realize to improvise, and that only happened once. It only has to happen once, trust me. But I said, you know, over time, you start thinking of ways, you learn to learn your message before you go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? The technology ain't gonna always be there. You know, you may leave a page. The iPad may go out. I've had that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a system update happening in the middle of your presentation. Absolutely. You got to know your stuff. But I said, just, you know, get in front of a mirror, play it on your iPhone, you know, your presentation, you know, talk to it, you know, and say it over your iPhone and then listen to it. And I said, one of the worst things to do is to watch yourself and listen to yourself. That's hard for people to do.
Yes.
Because we're our biggest critics.
Absolutely.
But I said, if you do that, you'll get better over time.
Well, I am not an extrovert. Nobody believes me when I say it, but it has terrifies me. Anytime you see me get up in front of more than two people, I promise you I am shaking in my shoes because I am truly scared. One, I don't want to make a fool of myself, but at the same time, you don't want to make a fool of who you represent on a bigger scale beyond that. And the only way to get better is to just do it.
Yeah.
And literally a year ago, I said, you know what? I am tired of being scared. Yeah. I am tired of not being good at this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to overcome it. And then I'm still a little scared. I still get a little, but I do it better because I'm going to keep doing it until I'm not scared. And like doing this, they're like, you're on a podcast. Mm-hmm. You do great. Okay, well, I can sit down and I can talk one-on-one all day long.
Yeah.
You know, sharing each other's stories and having a conversation is a whole lot different than standing behind a podium with an agenda. And I have a fear of podiums. I've decided that's what it is. I don't have a fear of speaking. I got a fear of podiums.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when you're behind, as preachers like to brag and call it the sacred desk of inspiration.
Nice.
You know, when you're behind that and you're standing behind it and all eyes are on you as the speaker and, you know, you're talking from the influence of God, not from your personal influence. At least that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've learned over time now. I used to be such a hard critic of anybody that was speaking. And, you know, I stopped doing that, you know, a while ago. And now for me, I'm 37, you're reaching 40, you're getting older. You know, I start seeing driver's license with 2002 on them. Oh, Lord. You know, now I know I'm in that range now. Uh-huh. You know, I'm Unc as the young people are like, hey, Unc. I'm like, oh, gosh. You know, now you realize that, you know, you listen to the message of the person. You know, what is this person saying that's going to help me in my life and benefit me? He doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest speaker, you know, but is what he or she's saying, is it relevant to my life? Can I get some out of this message? And majority of the time, if you approach it from that perspective, you'll always get something out of it.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today. Well, I know I follow you on social media, and you have gotten quite active on social media here lately.
Yeah.
And not just promoting Honda. You have inspirational messages that you share.
Mm-hmm.
What clicked in you that made you go, I need to do this? I need to invest. Because that's what you're doing. You're investing in others by doing that message.
Yeah. My father told me, he said, you know, you have a gift. God didn't give it to you not to share it. You don't have to be behind a podium to share a message. And he said, you know, make your phone your podium. Nice. I said, you're right. And so that's what I started doing. The phone became the podium. And so I started sharing messages. The inspiration, as it comes to me, I share it. And people have told me that, you know, they get a lot out of it. You know, it's a blessing. Sometimes, you know, if they're feeling down on something, they may scroll through the page to find something. Yeah. And that means the world to me, you know, because positivity should be for everybody. You can't put a price on great encouragement and positivity because everybody needs it. Because I don't care what anybody says, life happens to everybody.
Yes, sir.
You know, we all hurt. We all bleed. We all struggle in some form or fashion. And so to be able to know I can put a message out there, push a post button, and everybody can view it. Yeah. And it's free for them to view it and be able to get some out of it. I'll do it over and over again.
Well, I can tell you, I am one of those people, and I love it. And I know that there have been people that I know, at least a couple, mm-hmm. that have now started doing the same thing on a different level and from a different approach slightly, mm-hmm. but they had the courage to step out and just start doing it because they see you doing it. And I think that is a huge thing that you... There's so much negativity on the internet. There's so much negativity on social media. Yep. We need that.
Yep.
And I love it. So from me personally, thank you for doing that for sure.
I appreciate it. And, you know, there are, you know, a few years ago when I started trying to do it, I was just too hard on myself. You know, I would do it. I may record a video 30 times. And then I just started saying, you know what, forget it. If I stumble, if I mess up, I'm pushing play on it. Because you got to do it messy, right? I love Nike's slogan, just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, stop trying to be perfect. Stop worried about who's going to critique it. Forget all of that. You know, if it's from the heart and it is it, and if it is of God, you can put it out there and it won't return void. Somebody get something out of it.
Absolutely. I love that. I heard a speaker the other day to lean into that about, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. He was like, you stop worrying about how what people think of you when you realize how little people think of you.
Yeah.
So you literally yeah. are the only one that's judging that. You're the only one that's saying, okay, this isn't good.
Yeah.
All you're somebody's smile.
Yeah.
That's literally what that is. No matter what else, it was positive and somebody saw it when they needed to see it.
Yep.
And the Lord makes sure of that.
There it is. There he listen, he provides the increase.
Yes.
And as long as he's providing the increase, only good can come out of it.
So do you do individual discipleship or anything still in the ministry realm?
So that's something that I'm beginning to open up more. You know, in 2026, it can just be so tough because you have to totally do it separately.
Yeah.
From your day job.
Yes.
As, you know, compliance and different things of that nature. But you know, that is definitely something that I'm starting to do. I'm starting to create a series on videos for YouTube so people can be able to subscribe and they can subscribe to different messages on faith, on struggling with different addictions and things of that nature. So they'll be able to just get 10 to 15 minute lessons and they can just go through them. And do it that way. So more of an online or digital form of discipleship versus one-on-one often. But if it's something that people can just, because I'm noticing people are all about convenience now. I mean, even if they come purchase a vehicle, they want to get out of there in 10 minutes. You know, yes, so people, so time is of the essence more now than it's ever been post-COVID. So I'm putting together some digital series that'll be able to help some people.
I love that. That's awesome. So how can they find you on YouTube then to see that?
So right now, I don't have it all up yet.
Oh, okay.
So it's I'm going to put that. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. So it's still under construction right now.
Okay.
But I'm going to definitely put it out there when it finishes.
All right. So y'all keep an eye on me because I'll let you know when he does post it. It'll be on my social media because I'm going to share it. I guarantee I'm going to share it. That's awesome. So for the people that are watching, let's say small business owners, entrepreneurs, people that are still trying to figure out their path, can you give us two or three tips, pivotal just insight to how you came and found where you're supposed to be, something that they can take away from it to figure that out, what their next step should be.
One of the, if I can remember his name, I can't, his name is not coming to me right now, but he works at a Volvo dealership out in St. Louis, Missouri, out in the suburb area. And he is tremendous. He's the number one Volvo dealership. He's the number one salesperson for Volvo in the world in St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis is not a huge town.
No, okay. It's not.
He's number one in the world.
That's fantastic.
Right. And I reached out to him and I asked him, I said, how did you do that? And he says, I'm going to give you an answer that you're not going to believe. And so when he said that, I knew it wasn't going to be deep. I said, what is it? He said, here it is. Treat others the way you want to be treated. He said, I've been treating others the way they want to be treated for 36 years. That's why.
I love that.
And he said, the other part of it, if you do that, the other part of it is tenure. People do not trust people who jump around. They just don't. You know, so if you're treating other people the way they want to be treated, sincerity is number one, because a lot of people aren't sincere anymore. A lot of people start businesses for the wrong reasons. A lot of people jump in businesses for the wrong reasons. So you have to treat people fairly. Give people a fair price. Make sure people understand what they're buying. Don't just throw them in and bind them into something that they don't know of, because that happens a lot, too. And if you do that, you'll make it. You'll make it. It won't be an overnight thing. It's not an overnight thing for me. You know, every day I struggle on what I'm going to post next. You know, I have to really sit down at it and really work at it and write stuff down. But it's not, the race isn't given to the swift, right? It's given to the one who endures to the end.
Absolutely.
So it's just working, and it's just putting forth your best effort. But number one is sincerity. Treat people right. You have to treat people right. Number one. Number two, communication. You know, bad communication is horrible in the sales and marketing world. You know, again, it goes back to what I said. People have to know what they're purchasing. They have to know the pros and cons of this. Give them all the information to make an informed decision. I've had people, believe it or not, everybody doesn't buy a car from me, but I guarantee you the percentage is very high for those people who come back to buy from me.
Yeah.
They don't all buy that first day, but a lot of them come back. You know why? And I tell them before they leave, I'm banking on it. The next place you go would not be this thorough with you.
Yeah.
My job is not to sell a car. My job is to provide the best experience possible for the person that's looking to make a purchase. I help people navigate the overwhelming process of making a buying decision.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people.
And that's literally a huge decision and a huge process of purchasing a car, especially a new vehicle.
Yeah.
That's a serious commitment. That's a huge price tag. I mean, second probably to purchasing a home. And there are too many that aren't thorough.
Yeah.
They just want to put you in a car.
Yeah.
If you're here, that means you want to buy a car. But there's millions of different kinds. There's millions of different brands.
Yeah.
And every one of them has a different story of what they need. So you have to understand and listen to their story and explain to them what you have to offer in order for them to make that best decision.
Yeah.
So you investing in them is fantastic. And that is why they come back.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a lot of time put into it. You know, as Mr. Grazani told me years ago, he said, when you get serious about something, that something will get serious about you.
I like that. I'm going to put that in my pocket.
Yeah, it will, you know. So I went out and, you know, I got headshots made. You know, why? Because I know me. The same way I look up everything and look up people online, I know for a fact customers are looking at my name and looking me up online before they even come. They're doing it, you know, when they see you. Why? Because first impressions matter.
Yes.
And there's no way at all someone's going to look me up and be able to find something negative. I'm working overtime to make sure when they look for me, they're getting something encouraging. They're seeing information that can help them.
Yes.
And not anything negative. And so that's a big thing of it too. Reviews are major. I mean, listen, you can have a great year. One review would turn your world upside down.
Yes, sir.
You know, so Google reviews, Yelp reviews, any of those, any chance you get to get a 5-star review from a client, you need to get it because it's credibility.
Yes.
And in sales and marketing, you're only as good as your reputation. Once your name get bad, it's all bad.
Absolutely.
So having a good, clean name is everything.
I love that. And it's crazy how much those reviews do matter because we all do that. We all go and look on there, no matter what we're doing. You're going to do the research. Okay, well, I was looking to buy a new pair of shoes online today, and I'm checking all the reviews before I even check the price tag.
Yep.
Because I'll pay what I got to pay for a good pair of shoes. But if it doesn't have the reviews that say they lasted, they did this, you're not going to do it.
It
doesn't matter how good the deal is.
Yep.
If it's not going to hold up, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And it takes a whole lot of good reviews to overcome one bad review.
One bad one tear you up. I told him that, you know, at the leadership conference, I told him, I said, listen, no matter how good you are, you cannot overcome a bad review. I said, you know, people, and I said, it's inevitable. You're going to get it if you're in the world of business, right? Yeah. Somebody's going to be upset about something. And I told them, it's always the people you work overtime to help the most. Those are the people that give you the worst reviews. It won't be the person where things was easy peasy. It's going to be the person where there was a lot of hoops to run in and out of. And I said, it's the same thing with your parents. I said, one day you're going to muster up the strength to tell your parents or your guardian, you know, you don't do anything for me. We've all been there. You're going to say that. You know, that's not true. But you was in your moment. You had a moment and you said that. And then they're going to call out all the things they did for you. And it's going to bring tears to your eyes because some of those things you didn't even know.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing with customers. Sometimes when you get a bad review, it's, you know, you have to smile and you have to say, okay, I need to call this client and I need to talk to him and I need to see what I could have done better.
Yes.
To improve this. Because guess what? Some customers have rescinded reviews. They've done another one. So it's okay if you receive a bad one. Just know you're only as good as your name. Your reputation is everything. And reviews do matter.
And that sets you apart. The fact that you follow up, you don't just go, eh, okay, well, they were a pain in the tail feathers anyway. And you're just like, I'll move on. You call and say, okay, what could I have done better?
Oh, yeah.
You see it as a growth opportunity.
It is.
I love that. So, okay, there's tip number three, follow up. No matter what, follow up.
Yeah, the fortune is in the follow up. It always has been. You know, there are clients who bought a car 3 years ago. And guess what? I still follow up with them once a month. Mm-hmm. I send them a video message. I send them a funny skit. Anything to keep my face and name out in front of that client. And guess what? Oh, Johnny just was in a bad car accident. Well, bless his heart. How is he doing? He's doing much better, but we're going to have to come see you.
Come on.
But guess what? If I never follow up and reach out to them just to see how life's been doing,
yeah,
I never even know he's been in that event. And sometimes when people are going through things, they may forget your name. You're not the first priority on their mind, right? But because you follow up with people, and everything doesn't have to be about buying something. Just check in on people and see how people are doing. You'll be surprised the things people go through after they've left you.
Yes.
You know, so follow up with intention, and you'll get a lot out of that.
I love that. Well, our final question. And then I'll leave you alone, I promise. We ask every person that comes on the podcast, because the majority of them are all members. They're all promoting their business, doing what they do. So with you being a part of the chamber, even beyond that, with you being an ambassador and stepping up to do more, what has the chamber done for you, either personally or professionally, that you value?
It's open doors for you to be. It does open doors for you to be in rooms that you typically wouldn't be invited to be in. for me, you know, my biggest goal was to be the most recognizable face at South Haven Honda. That's still my goal. And it's not because I feel South Haven Honda doesn't do a great job, because they do. It's just that when you're in the business that I'm in, your own brand and your own name means something.
Yes.
And the dealership can only do so much for you. At that point, you know, you have to treat it like you're 1099. You have to really get out and go get it. Mm-hmm. And so the chamber has been amazing at building relationships with people. And also, because every time I go to something, I meet somebody that I didn't meet the previous one.
Yeah.
And a lot of the same faces in the room, but it's just being able to continuously meet someone. So over at the, I think it was at the Snowden, we had the business, the coffee.
Yes.
Coffee with a member. It was over at Snowden at Athletic House. And Doug Martin sees my name. He says, Webb. He said, where you from? I said, Hernando. And then he says, okay. He says, well, I went to Hernando. I said, okay. Well, your dad graduated. I said, 83. He said, what's his name? I said, George. He said, I don't know George. I said, well, you graduate. He said, 79. I said, you know my Uncle Lonzel. He said, yeah.
That's cool.
I do. I played on the basketball team with him, right?
Cool.
But
right.
If I don't go to coffee with a member, if I'm not a part of the chamber, I never meet him.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know what? It's somebody else you need to meet. Right down that hall is Mr. Lewis. Go beat Mr. Lewis. I went down and said, hey, Mr. Lewis, I'm George Webb. She gets so excited. She said, you're Annie Mae's grandson. I said, yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness.
I went to school with them, grew up on Fog Road. It was just those conversations, right? If I never go to coffee with a member, if I'm not a part of the chamber, I don't meet them.
I love that. That's fantastic. That's real world. I've built a connection. I've mm-hmm. built an automatic relationship.
Yep.
Because my grandma was good to you. My uncle was good to you. Mm-hmm. That automatically gives you credibility.
Correct.
And you've got the skills to back it up, too. So I love that. That's
Thank
fantastic.
You. Yes, ma'am.
So now
yes,
I can strut just a little. I love that. That's chamber connections,
That's
baby.
That's chamber connections. And, you know, get a part of the chamber. But not just for connections. You ought to want to make the place you live at better.
Yes.
You know, get in there and serve. And if you live in a community, it shouldn't matter to you what it looks like. It shouldn't matter to you what's happening around you. And I think the chamber is fantastic. It's been fantastic for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was really awesome to sit down with you for a little while. Guys, if you haven't done so, if you're looking for a vehicle, if you're thinking about looking for a vehicle, if you just want to come and hang out with George for a little while, go by South Haven Honda, ask for George. He'll give you an encouraging word or a funny limerick. You never know what you're going to get with him, but you're going to have a good day afterwards. So go by South Haven Honda. Check them out. And thank you so much for joining us for another episode of South Haven Business Beat. And if you haven't done so, you need to click that subscribe button down in the bottom so you don't miss a single episode. We've got lots more great things coming down the road. Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.